this morning, I wanted to share with you all what I've learned, what I've seen, and what I have experienced. Like a good meal that satisfies and nourishes our soul, I want to share with you Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25, which teaches us the role that meeting together plays towards achieving God's will for our lives. We will read the whole paragraph to better understand the context of the verses. We read chapter 10, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. From the passage we just read, you see that the work of Christ, by the shedding of his blood, we have been given the privilege of access to God. And because of this wonderful privilege, we are now being exhorted to draw near to him. We see that on verse 22. And to hold fast the confession of our hope in 23. And the verses we're studying this morning, and to consider how to encourage others. That's in verse 24. To guide us in our study, I have prepared an outline, actually an outline of only 2 points. The first point is the exhortation, and the second point is how do we stir up one another to love and good works. In verse 24, we find the first point of our outline, which we call the exhortation. The exhortation is this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We all know that our scripture are written in Koine Greek, in the original, so it would help us better appreciate the verse if we look at the meaning of the words used in our verse. First, let's look at consider. The verb consider has to do with our thinking. It means to think carefully, contemplate, or reflect on. In this manner, we are to give thoughtful and loving concern for fellow Christians, focusing our minds and energy on ways to stir them up. We can begin with thinking about their needs. Everyone has needs. We have to be creative, you know, and how to ways that we can show our love and stir them up. Another thing we can think carefully about is mentioned in Romans chapter 14. Let's look at the passage. Romans 14, in verse 13. It says there, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. And also in verse 15, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love by what you eat. Do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. For the sake of our brethren, we must be willing to give up our privileges so as not to offend our weak brother. It is our obligation to think of everything as it affects others. The next term is stir up. The term stir up means to incite, to provoke, or stimulate. It is used to convey intense emotion, often negatively, such as strong disagreement. An example of this is in Acts chapter 15, verse 39 to 40. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. The word stir up in Hebrews chapter 24 is the same word used in verse 39, which was translated sharp disagreement. The background of this verse is on Paul's previous missionary journey. He was with Mark, but for some reason Mark abandoned him. And then in this next mission, he doesn't want to take him anymore. But Barnabas, the encourager that he is willing to give another chance to Mark. And they had a sharp disagreement because of that. So because of that disagreement, they separated. Barnabas went one way and Paul went another way. In our verse, the word stir up was used in a positive stimulation. We are to think of ways, especially on the way we live, on the way we talk, and the way we act, so that by our example and conversations, other believers will be motivated to love and good works. Next term is one another. This term speaks of mutual activity. It means believers encouraging one another. This is not where leaders direct the rest of what they are to do. It means everyone should be giving and receiving encouragement. If we are just receivers, we are just takers and taking advantage of others and are of little use for the eternal destiny of other people. Our next term is love. The term love in this verse is the familiar agape love. It is a term for a love that is not self-seeking, a term for sacrificial love. It is the kind of love that we are to provoke one another with. This is a very important responsibility. We are to help one another to attain it. Whenever God gives us a command or exhortation, it is always for our good. This exhortation will develop in us perseverance and endurance, as we shall see in the following point. Our next point is, how do we steer one another to love and good works? From the previous verse, we saw we are to take care of one another. But this mutual care cannot continue unless Christians meet together. To meet together regularly for fellowship, encouragement, and exhortation. We may have all the grandest plan, the best plan to encourage our brothers, but if we don't meet together, it just stays as a plan. The mutual caring can only be sustained and achieved by heeding the advice found in verse 25. And as we read again, not neglect, I'm going to read the two verses. And let us consider how to steer one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The first thing we need to do, actually in verse 25, the admonition is expressed in two contrasting expressions. And the first contrast is given in as a negative. And it is the not neglecting to meet together. The term meet together is similar in sense to church, and refers to the local gathering of Christian believers for worship and exhortation in a particular place. So if we meet in the parking lot, that is where our church is. If we meet at someone else's home, that is where our church is. This practice initially took place daily, as we can see in Acts 2:46. You don't have to go there. It says there, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So we see as in the first century church that they are meeting every day. Eventually, these meetings became weekly as we can see in Acts 27, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. So the negative expression saying we must not stop meeting together regularly is this neglect is not just a simple neglect, but is put strongly as wrongful abandonment. In the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, the verb to neglect and its related words are the terms used in conditional promise made between God and Israel. This word in this translation occurs more than 170 times. It often points to the reproach of Israel. In Judges 2, you don't have to turn there, verse 12 to 13, it says, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them, and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. they abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Astaroth. The idea here is that habitually neglecting to meet together is equivalent to abandoning God's covenant, His laws, and His commands. I just wanted to make note that what we're talking about here is the habitual neglect of meeting together. If you have obligations at work, especially if you're working in the law enforcement or healthcare or in the military, God understands that. If you have family obligations, or maybe even taking a vacation, taking your family to a vacation, maybe a week or two. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the habitual neglect. In this verse, we see that some were in the habit, they were already in the habit of neglecting their responsibility to meet together. The reasons are not mentioned here, but there are some hints mentioned in other places in the book. Well, we can look at verse 32 to 34, at the same chapter, where it reads, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated." So some of them may be neglecting to attend church because of persecution. Some may be due to lack of concern, as we can see in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. It says there, "About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." So these people, they don't have any concern. That may be the reason why they are not attending. We don't exactly know. But one thing we can note here is that even persecution is not a valid reason to neglect meeting together. If our reason is not harder than someone putting a gun to our face, that is still not valid. The author of Hebrews didn't say that if you are being persecuted, you are excused. He didn't say that. It is so humbling when we hear stories of believers in other countries. We just had a missionary that is going to such a country where they risk their lives and everything they have so that they can meet together. We hear stories from missionaries, especially from those poor countries, where believers walk many miles so that they can attend the fellowship. Some even leaving a day earlier so they can get in time for the meeting. These believers, they truly understood the importance of meeting together. They understood that growing in love and good works will never happen if they neglect meeting together. Staying away from fellowship is dangerous because a Christian bears a lot of pressure from from the flesh, from the world and from Satan. To withdraw from the fellowship is to court spiritual defeat. Only by remaining together can we persevere and endure until the last day. One characteristic of a Christian is his love for his fellow believer. When one habitually neglects coming to church fellowships, he is showing that he has no concern or no love for the spiritual well-being of the believer. A warning in verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 10 is given to such a person. It says there, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." These verses does not mean that if we habitually neglect coming to church or meeting together that we would lose our salvation. That is not what the verse is saying. But what it's saying is, if a person habitually neglects meeting together, it just proves that such a person is not a true believer. Next is the positive expression of the same admonition is the advice of how to stir up one another is to meet together for the purpose of encouraging one another. In chapter 3, verse 13, it says there, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." The author of Hebrews recommends that our mutual concern to provoke loving service should be expressed in exhortation, which in notion it includes encouragement. And in chapter 13, verse 22, it says there, "I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly." This verse tells us that the best form of exhortation is based on Scripture, the word of exhortation which he has written. This is the reason why in all our meetings, in all our meetings, the teaching and exhortation from Scripture is a necessary part of our meetings. Without it, our meeting is nothing more than a community club. Yes, we can talk about sports, we can talk about politics, but the Scripture should be the main topic of our conversation for the purpose of encouraging our brother. The author is also telling us that the best way of adhering to the things of God is to be in fellowship with these people. There is no better place for a Christian to be, where he can love and be loved, where he can be served, where he can serve and be served. To encourage one another requires us to be together with other people, with words and actions that will strengthen them in Christ. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." It has the same thought, that interaction with fellow believers sharpens one's skill in dealing with life's challenges. Just recently, a brother shared his technique in how he runs faster. He told me that he runs with a faster runner. That's how he runs faster. So the same principle we can apply in encouraging our brother. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of our meeting together. One of the purpose. Encouragement may mean bearing a load for them. It may mean prayer, companionship, or sharing our experience of God's faithfulness and His loving care. Regular Christian fellowship stimulates love, and love encourages fellowship. So you can see here a cycle. You know, it's like the chicken and the egg. So this cycle, in the end, produces endurance until that day. The Apostle Paul often compares the Christian life to a race, and it's also found in Hebrews 12:1. It says there, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The focus here is endurance, just like the purpose of meeting together. A well-organized marathon race is a good analogy or example of how we are meeting together. They would have barriers in the route of the race. They would have people giving out electrolytes and water so you don't get dehydrated. There are even people there whose only job is to cheer you on. You know, if they know your name, they're gonna mention your name. And there are traffic policemen as well, so they can direct traffic when you're crossing major streets. And the whole purpose of that is so that you can finish the race safely. They doing all they can to ensure that you finish the race. This is the same. This is what's going to happen if we do not neglect meeting together. The admonition to encourage one another is urgent because of the reminder that the day is approaching, as we saw in verse 25. The day is the day of Christ's return. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 8. It says there, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. I'm sorry, I mistyped the verse. Basically, the verse I'm looking at is where it says the high priest, which is Christ, is returning again with his bringing his salvation with him to give to his people. And also in Joel 1:15, you don't have to turn there. It says there, "For the day of the Lord is near, and as destruction from the Almighty, it comes." So when we combine the thought in these two description of the day, we can see that when Christ returns, He will bring with Him salvation and judgment. we will all give an account of ourselves to God. It says in Romans 14:12. You don't have to turn there. It says, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. What we do in this life will determine the rewards we will receive. So how we treat our brother, how much we encourage them, this will determine our rewards." Earlier in the beginning of the message, I mentioned that the verses we just studied, verses 24 and 25, encouraged me to persevere for the reasons we have just discussed. Another reason is that I have seen these verses being lived in the lives of our brethren. I have a first-hand experience on these verses. I can stand before you today because God has used our fellowship to encourage and pray for me. If I could probably write all the encouragement and prayers that were said to me or offered for me, it's probably 10 times longer than this message. I assure you that if you regularly attend Christian gatherings, not only at CFC, not only at this church, but in other Bible-believing churches, you will grow strong in the faith. If you are attending Sunday services, that is good, but be also reminded that attending Sunday services is like having a sumptuous, nutritious meal that you really enjoy, and then being starved for the rest of the week. You know, we have to be aware of that. So we need supplement so that our soul will be kept healthy. The encouragement I was mentioning about, if you will regularly attend gatherings, is this. I have a list. Maybe you cannot come in other meetings because you have problem with transportation, or maybe your age, or for some health reasons. I assure you that if you plan to attend, someone will give you a ride, and you will be encouraged to see a 94-year-old woman. Almost never missing, the prayer meetings. You will be encouraged by that. If you are afraid or shy about sharing the gospel to others, you will hear and see brothers and sisters there that are passionate about sharing the gospel. You would see, a brother, even when exercising, sees to it that he shares the gospel to people that he meets in the park. You would meet people that even in their business trip, they see to it that they share the gospel, even if they're in another country. A lot of example like that. Someone is just, doing some menial task, while doing is still sharing the gospel. Those, when you will never know those encouragement if you don't attend. Right? If you have small kids, you will be encouraged if you attend to see, you know, men or that is passionate in raising their kids to the instruction of the Lord, you know, where they go to the extent of waking up early to have devotion with their children. You will be encouraged by that. And just last week, a dear couple is offering their home, you know, so that the brethren can have fellowship at their home. You know, they understand the importance of fellowship. You know, what could be more encouraging than those examples? So right now, if you are one of the faithful, you're the one who don't neglect meeting together regularly. Keep doing what you're doing. Remember that the day is near, and your reward your reward is with the Lord when He returns. And if you are here today, if you are not a Christian, if you have been provoked by the love of God and the love of the brethren to one another, if you are provoked by the privilege of access to God given to believers, then you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept His sacrifice. And you too will be encouraged. You too will be loved and be loved. So I pray that the things that I've learned and have seen and experienced would encourage you as well as it has given me encouragement. There's one hymn, a beautiful hymn that shows a beautiful picture of Christian fellowship that endured even under tribulation, oppression, and heresies. It was written by an Anglican pastor named Samuel Stone in 1866. He wrote the Church's One Foundation. He wrote it to defend the conservative faith from the attacks of liberalism. So this is a beautiful feature. We can see that when we sing the hymn. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for the encouragement found in Your Word. Thank You for the love and encouragement given by Your people. Thank You for the promise of Christ's return, bringing with Him the completion of our salvation. Father, we just pray that You would be encouraged to love and good works, that it may bring glory to You. For we ask it all in Your Son's name. Amen.